And thank you so much. Christmas is here. I told you it was coming. It got here. Yay. We get to celebrate today. So first off, I want to go to the big book, our big book that we've had all Advent season, and see what we get to look at today in his story. Oop. That's what I do every week for comic relief. Trip over the stand. Oh, we're at the climax of the story today. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? The climax of any story is the high point, the pinnacle. Christmas has arrived, and we are at the place where the story reaches its peak. That is the most exciting thing when you're watching a movie or reading a story. And God's word unfolds this story for us. We call it the nativity story. Nativity basically means newborn. It's a story of a newborn. Those of us who are moms or dads or grandmas or grandpas or aunts or uncles can all relate to the stories you want to tell after a baby arrives. How many people know that feeling? Yeah, you know that feeling. It's one that you're saying, there's a new life. I want to tell people about it. And that's what Christmas is about. And that's what we're going to focus on today. You know, the Christmas isn't about gifts wrapped in shiny paper. It's about a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The climax of the story is that God arrived as a baby, as baby Jesus, and the world will never be the same. When we place our focus on the real Christmas story with the anticipation brought to its height in the nativity story, this becomes the high point of our year, of our celebration, actually of our own life stories. So to begin worship through the word this morning, I just want you to relax and listen to the account of the nativity story that's found in Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea because that was David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, Jesus' mom, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. How fun was that? So we read the nativity story in Luke. We read the newborn story of Jesus becoming a great baby, brand new baby. And I'm sure Sarah and Nate have a story from just a little over a month ago, from when Kathy made her arrival. We were introduced in Luke to Joseph and Mary. We were introduced to angels. We were introduced to shepherds. We were even introduced to an innkeeper, ever so briefly, but introduced to him. And we found out that the climax of the story that we've been waiting for, as Christmas has been approaching, as we've been anticipating it, came about on the night of Jesus' birth. The Messiah has arrived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So both Matthew and Luke actually lay out a detailed account of the nativity story. I've mentioned before that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. They all contain similar stories. Mark is the briefest. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. I appreciate Luke and Matthew for giving us a little more information. So there's another very prominent set of visitors that get introduced to us in the account that Matthew shares of the nativity story. And I want us to read that this morning as well. This group of people are known as the Magi, or the wise men. And we read about them in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler has come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. When they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So in this portion of the story, we're introduced to a few other characters: the wise men, King Herod, the religious leaders who Herod consulted. These are all characters that play important parts in his story. There are some people who were very present that first Christmas. They got it. They realized what was important that night. Not just that a baby was born. I'll bet you there were other babies born that night that share that birth date. But they realized the Messiah had come. They didn't miss it. And then there were others that did miss it. You know, when we look back on the story in its entirety, it's easy to ask how something like this could be missed. There was literally a sign in the sky. Could it be more clear? There was a star. God before neon lights were invented, put a sign in the sky that basically was like, Jesus is right here. Look, look, I'm shining a spotlight on him. All of these things that we think we invented, no. God invented that years and years and years ago when he first put a sign in the sky that said, Jesus has arrived. Could it be any more clear? Oh, well, maybe. But the innkeeper missed the Messiah's arrival because he was focused on other things. Imagine a knock on your door and you open it and there's a couple there and they're about ready to give birth and you say, it's too full here, I'm too busy. Do you ever wonder if the innkeeper put two and two together and later realized, oh, I might have turned away that couple who had Jesus? Or do you think his memory of that night was just about the megabucks that he brought in? About how his inn was bursting at the seams? You know, there's only one small mention of the innkeeper where it says there's no room in the inn. There was no lodging available for them. Did he ever realize what he missed? I wonder. We don't know. But in his busyness, he was focused on other things. That night, anyway. And then there's King Herod. King Herod had a chance laid right at his feet to be a front row observer of the Messiah's birth. He wasn't ignorant. He couldn't claim, as the innkeeper could, that I didn't know who that couple was. I had no idea. God sent people to him who told Herod, the Messiah is here. And then he called the priests and the leaders and the experts in the law and asked them, what is this about the Messiah? And he believed them. The King of the Jews has been born. And he could have gone, he could have made the choice to lay down his pride, to lay down his self-absorption. He could have chosen to give up his right to control and acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he didn't that night. He missed it. He thought he figured it out, though, didn't he? He thought, if I tell the wise men to come back and tell me where this baby is, I'm going to make sure that I stay in the seat of control and make sure this kid doesn't get in my way. And then, of course, as we've discussed before, there's the Pharisees and the leaders of the law. You know what their main focus was at this time in history? They were trying to figure out how to overthrow the Roman government because the Romans were oppressing the Jews. And they were busy figuring out how to plot an overthrow. How do we take care of our people? These people need freedom. They need rescued. They're being oppressed. And then this baby comes and gets in the way of their plans. Well, they didn't have time for that. And so they missed the first Christmas as well. I received an article written by our superintendent, Chris Hill, this last week, where he says the religious leaders had become so engrossed in their purpose that they missed God's purpose. It's easy sometimes to fall in love with the things of God and yet miss the very presence of God. To fall in love with working for God and fail to worship the living and true God. Of all those found in Scripture, the religious leaders are those who can be most pitied. They have been entrusted with so much, but had applied so little. The Magi's question, where is the newborn King of the Jews, fell on deaf ears. Then there were those who were really present and responsive and recognize the reality and importance of the night Jesus was born. And I think most relatable to me anyway are the shepherds. Angels informed him of the birth, which is absolutely amazing. We've talked about that in years past. Can you imagine just being out, hanging out in your field? It's dark. So you're a little on edge anyway because you're watching these sheep. And by the way, they were the sheep that were being raised to be the sacrificial lambs at the temple. They were important shepherds. And suddenly, you know, this angel comes, and it's a silent night. Think about that. It's a silent night, and we sing about a silent night. So this angel comes and tells them, hey, I've got great news. Jesus is born. And then you remember what happens after that? A whole host of angels comes, and all of Angel's army, and I'll bet you at that point it wasn't such a silent night. There was celebration going on in heaven, and those shepherds got to be a part of it. And then in Luke 2:17, it says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. They left immediately after the angel appeared, and they went to see Jesus. And then after they did that, they told everyone whom they could find as they were heading back to work about seeing the baby. These men's stories did not focus on how busy they were. Their stories did not focus on what they could gain through finding the location of the Messiah's birth. Their focus didn't remain on being disturbed by angels when they were figuring out their own way to worship God. Their stories became focused on what really mattered. The Messiah has come. The experience of celebrating the real Christmas changed their lives and the lives of others with whom they shared life with. Again, from Superintendent Hill's article, the shepherds teach us that paying attention at Christmas is not so much that of limiting the distractions and the commercialization of the season as it is of giving our focused attention. It's about purposefully seeking the Christ who has been given for us. Further, for those who have experienced God's gift, we can now offer the gift of Christmas to others. We've heard personal testimonies over these 5 weeks of Advent. And there's a common thread involved through all of them. Other people were involved in the lives of those who have given testimonies. The first week we heard from someone who happened to be out shopping and randomly had a conversation and a connection with a couple who were interested in finding out more about her. And she reached back out to them and offered a hand of friendship and gave her card and made that connection with complete strangers. But they're paths crossed for some reason. And then weeks 2, 3, 4, and today in week 5, we heard about someone taking a step closer to a person in a really sensitive, personal way and hanging there with them until God brought them to faith in him. It rarely happens on our own that our stories are filled with, it was me and God, only me and God. There's usually other people involved. And we saw that through the testimonies, but we also see it through things like the shepherd's story, how they told other people about it. And then the story of Jesus goes on and on and on and on and on because it duplicates, it multiplies. That's the amazing thing of God. And a testimony, remember, is a truth, proof-based story. A proof-based story. And in the accounts we read in Matthew and Luke, the angels and the shepherds and the magi and, of course, Mary and Joseph, if any of them were asked the question posed by the wise men, where is the newborn king of the Jews, they would have a proof-based answer. What about you? Where is Jesus in your Christmas this year? As we close out our Christmas service this morning, we're going to provide space. Just some space. It's okay if you've been busy. It's okay if you've been distracted. I don't want anybody to sit here and feel guilty for how their season has gone. What I want to do is for this hour and 15 minutes or hour and a half that we're together is to make space for you to answer the question that's actually on your connection card that you'll find in your program. It's one simple question. Where is Jesus in my Christmas this year? Take time to look for him. Sweep away the things that might be entangling you from focusing on this climactic point of the story. The rest of our time this morning is for you to connect with your Savior. What kind of year have you had? Is it a year that you just want to praise God because of all the wonderful things he's done for you? Or is it one of those years that you're saying, man, I can't wait until it's over because I hope next year is going to be better than this year? Do you need to sit with God and praise him, or do you need to sit with God and cry with him? Today's a day to give you space to respond to God, to be with him, to be present. That's what I want you to do, is be present. This is God's present to us. He came to earth. Why? Because he wanted to be present with us. And this morning, we're going to have an extended time of worship as we close out our time together in celebration of Christmas. I'm going to open the communion table. I'm going to open a treasure chest that looks just like the one the Magi brought. And you can put your offerings in there and your tithes and your connection cards. I'd like to ask you to fill out your connection cards in their entirety. If you have prayer requests, please let us know, because those are important and we pray for those. If you have a desire to serve or a question about anything, make sure that you let us know. Take communion when you're ready to take communion. The cross station is available. It's with, you know, it's got the basket of rocks that we always have there. And those rocks are to represent any burdens that you might have. Pick up a rock. If this year has been one of those years, pick up a rock and put it at the cross and say, God, I give it to you. Leave your burdens here today. That's part of God's present to us too, to free us from what we're carrying. He says, give me all your cares and worries. Do not be anxious, because I care for you. Make space for Jesus this morning. I'd like to ask Marcus and the entire team to come forward so that we can go a little bit further into our time of celebration and our time of spending focused attention with our Savior. Ask yourself the same question posed by the Magi. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? Allow yourself the time to respond to this question personally, and then join corporately in worshipful celebration of Jesus' birth. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you this morning and thank you, Almighty God, for the miracle of Jesus Christ coming as a newborn baby into our world. But beyond that, Lord, we are overwhelmed that you gave your life so that we could have life. And God, let that not be a cliche that just falls and bounces off of our eardrums, but let it be something that soaks in. You gave your life so we could have life. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Praise God, three in one. May our time with you this morning, our taking a space to focus on you, be a blessing, Lord God, to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.